Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Joe R. Lansdale. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Joe, you say you're in a van on a movie set. What's going on?
Well, it's actually a TV show. It's based on my novels, Half and Leonard Show. So we're I'm sitting outside while they're setting up to shoot another scene, and I'm waiting. It's going to be on the Sundance Channel next year, and I'm not sure exactly when, probably early next year.
Well, that's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very nice. It's the same director who did my book, Cold in July, and turned it into a film, Jim Mickle.
Well, when you're hot, huh?
Yeah, got to get hot once in a while.
Well, Joe, you got to be one of the hardest working writers that I know of. You must be awfully good at managing your time. How do you do it?
I'm good at managing my time. I think martial arts is the reason. I've done martial arts all my life, and it taught me a certain amount of discipline. And I just love doing it. You know, I get up in the morning and I do it. I don't work but about 3 hours a day normally. And that gets it done. When I'm on the set here, I can't work as regularly as I normally do. So I tend to find moments to work, like before I go to bed or early in the morning or what have you. But I found it's not about how much you write. It's about how frequently you do it and how well you do it.
Well, you got a new book out, and this is a little bit different, isn't it, for you, Paradise Sky?
Yeah, it's not totally different. I've had some other – I did a couple of sort of historical novels before, more than a couple, about a half a dozen. But this one's a little bit different. It has to do with the black experience in the West. It's a real actioner, and yet it's also a historical novel, and yet it's also something of a legendary mythic novel. And I had the greatest time writing. It's a book I've wanted to write for 30 years, and I'm really pleased to have gotten the chance to finally do it.
I kind of got the sense maybe you were paying tribute to the dime novel as well.
I was, absolutely, and to a real-life person named Nat Love, who I just took his basic story and personality. When he wrote an autobiography about his time in the West, and it was like a dime novel because he told the truth, and then he told some things that weren't true, and that's exactly the flavor I wanted when I put the story together.
And Nat, or Willie, or Deadwood
mm-hmm.
Dick, take
Deadwood
your pick. He's our narrator, and I love the way you've created his voice.
Well, thank you. I love that. I love creating those voices, and I think a lot of that came from the fact that, you know, I read a lot of those dime novels, for one thing. You can still read them. You can still find them. And also, I grew up with – my father was born in 1909, so I grew up with parents whose language was not altogether different from that of Nat's. And, of course, I've grown up in Texas and in the South, and so I felt like I was the right person to do it. And I felt like that voice had to be the key to the success of the book.
Joe Lansdale joins us. His book is Paradise Sky. And not just Texas, but East Texas. And that's important, isn't it?
East Texas. It is. There's a substantial difference. Of course, Nat starts there, and he travels all over. So the book doesn't stay in East Texas, unlike most of my books, which do. But that is a difference. It's not like West Texas. It's not like North Texas. It's not like South Texas. It's East Texas, which is more akin to Southern culture than Southwestern.
Mm. Okay, let's talk about Willie without doing any spoilers. What's your basic story here?
Yeah. Well, Willie makes the mistake of just turning his head at the wrong time and seeing a white woman in the 1870s bending over, which was an offense that a lot of white men could not stand, which this is not just me making this up. This is based on a lot of real incidents and things that happened in the, you know, in the past, and some of it not that far past. I mean, there was once a young man that was lynched for whistling at a white woman. So, but what happens is he also just happens to be she happens to be the wife of a very psychopathic person who decides to pursue him to the end of time because he feels like that he has been insulted, not even necessarily the wife, but that he has been insulted. And then that sort of leads to Nat going off on this I don't know so much as a quest or it's more of an escape. And he goes off on this escape, and then it leads to all these other adventures, and yet this guy has not forgotten.
You have a lot of bad guys in your books, but this Ruggert, the guy who you describe as psychopathic, he's one of the baddest ones.
Oh, absolutely. I think he may be the baddest because he's so relentless and he's so single-minded. You know, he has his own sad story there, too. But, yeah, I think that he's one of the more villainous villains I've created. I've tried to make him human, but also I tried to make him villainous in the same sense of the dime novel villains and try to make reality and legend meld with both the hero and the villain and the other characters in the book as well.
So young Willie commits this indiscretion, and that turns him into a fugitive. He's pretty much a fugitive for the rest of the story, isn't he?
Yeah, right. And because he's a fugitive, he ends up being hidden by a man who teaches him a number of skills that he's going to need later in his adventures. And his adventures are considerable. He, you know, he ends up being a buffalo soldier. I can tell you that without hurting the story. And he ends up on the frontier defending forts against the Apache. And then he ends up in a quest to be a great shot to win money in Deadwood, where he meets Wild Bill Hickok, a lot of other historical figures, is involved in a couple of historical events. And then things turn really exciting, bad and exciting. It just gets more, it's just sort of like no matter how hard he tries to move forward, he just gets deeper and deeper in, but in a, I hope an engaging, exciting way.
You and I are contemporaries as far as our vintage on this planet, and I have fond memories of being a kid and watching all the Westerns on TV.
And in
your book, in this particular book, whenever we encounter some Indians, some Native Americans, I always get a little bit excited because I know something wild's going to happen. And you've got Apaches and you've got Comanches and the Apaches. Wow, they are tough.
Yeah, they were tough, and a lot of the stuff that's in that book, that's based on absolute historical fact. That wasn't something that I just said, well, I'll put this in because it's cool. I put it in because it was researched, and so the events and the background are there. But also I wanted, you know, Nat, which is, I guess, his main name throughout, to see things somewhat like the Westerners did then, but to also have a little bit of recognition for our present times as well, because in his case, he's forced to be more progressive because he has to deal with racism and terrible situations constantly. But yet still, he deals with Native Americans in the way that the soldiers and the frontiersmen did at that time to protect themselves or to do what they thought was necessary in the same way the Native Americans were doing what they thought was necessary.
Joe Lansdale joins us. His new novel is Paradise Sky, and he's talking to us on his cell phone in a van somewhere just off the set from where they're producing some TV shows based on his work, and we appreciate you letting us track you down today, Joe. You've got these very serious themes in here. You've got racism. You've got a lot of violence. Yet because we're hearing the story through the voice of your protagonist, there's a lot of humor. He's really a funny guy.
Yeah, and you know, he sort of has a way of, you know, punching a hole in hypocrisy and seeing things sometimes as exactly as they are. And I think a lot of that comes from my own background, but it also comes with, you know, the black and white older men that I grew up around all the time and listening to them talk and how they express themselves and how they dealt with each other with humor. And so I wanted to have that feel in the book, and I wanted some of the things that were pretty grim to at least in some ways have this levity in, at least if it was a, even if it was a sort of gothic or grim sort of humor, I wanted that to be there to lighten the mood sometimes, or at least to give it a different, give readers a different way of looking at it than you normally would.
Well, it's certainly one of your more lighthearted books. Some of your stuff can get pretty dark.
Yeah, it certainly can, and this one certainly has its moments, but there is a lot more levity and I think a lot more positive elements than some of the other, you know, materials that I've produced. You know, there's generally always hope in my books, and there's generally always humor in all my books, but I think this one may be even heavier on the humor than the others.
In case you just tuned in, our guest today is Joe R. Lansdale. His new novel is Paradise Sky. It's the story of young Willie who becomes Deadwood Dick, and he gets that name because this guy can shoot a gun.
Yes, he can. He is an expert shot, and that's because one of the people that he meets along the way when he's escaping is a guy who is an expert gunman, also somebody that's an expert cowboy, knows something about farming as well as many other things, and he becomes a surrogate parent for Willie. And then I think I could say later on he also meets a man who his daughter he becomes interested in, who teaches him a lot of things too.
And his surrogate parent replaces his dad, who is involved in a tragedy directly related to Willie's
yes.
problems,
and right.
this Nat Loving, he's really a mentor, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and he becomes he gives him hope, and he gives him skills, and he even in some ways gives him direction. You know, hope, skills, and direction, and I think that's what carries him through the rest of the book.
You have a lot of different characters in this story, and I think one of my favorites is a guy you just call Gollum.
Yes.
He doesn't talk much.
No. He's sort of a subsidiary, I guess, villain in a sense. But he was also based on some people I read about, and I just sort of extrapolated it and made it, you know, to fit my story more. And I think it's a nod to my horror fiction roots, too, without necessarily moving over into the horror field.
Mm. And there's guys that make a choice between being good or bad, and this young kid that you think it's going to turn out okay, but he ends up running with the wrong crowd. There's a lot of moral lessons in this story, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think it's just like so much of that, you know, that era and even present, you know, some things can turn on a dime, and it's that idea, too, that your life, your entire career, your entire plans for the future, what happens to you can just turn a one either wrong or very right decision. And that's another part of the book. And it's not just one decision, and it's not just Nat's decision. I mean, there's Bronco Bob, who's a dime novelist, and all these people are all changed, and they all have things happen to them that alter their original course.
I like how Bronco Bob gets drawn into some business that maybe he doesn't want to be involved in.
No. Bronco likes writing about it more than doing it, but he gets involved in doing it and becomes something of a Westerner himself, although in reality he's just sort of a poser who actually can shoot very well. But it's his big desire to be a novelist, and he wants to be a dime novelist. He's sort of loosely based on people like Ned Buntline.
Oh. Do you want to talk about Wynn? Is this too much of a spoiler to talk about Wynn?
I will just say that I thought that she was, I won't say much about it because it might spoil it, but I will say that she was a ratter. You know, she,
yeah.
And when I say a ratter, that what she was a professional rat killer in Deadwood, and they really had those. Deadwood was overrun with rats, and they tried to find some way to get rid of them, and they had kids just running wild, whacking them, and people shooting them, and actually accidentally shooting other people chasing those damn rats.
Some of the rats were too big to put in a bag, though, weren't they?
Yeah, them big different kind of rat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe Lansdale joins us, and his new novel is Paradise Sky. You've been on my list for a long time, Joe. I've always wanted to interview you, and fortunately you put out so darn many books that I keep having opportunities, and here we are.
You bet. Glad to be here. I'm enjoying it. Thank you very much for having me.
I remember a couple years ago you had a book out called The Thicket. And I just
yes.
love that story. Man, what a great story.
Well, thank you. I'm very fond of that one. Also, that one looks like it's going to be a film, too. You never know. They get picked up. And Peter Dinklage of the Game of Thrones is planning on producing and starring in it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan right now. So we're hoping it goes, you know, farther. It's one of those things that's in progress.
Well, that's really quite a story, and of course it's quite a bit darker, but that incident that happens
yeah.
on when they're taking the ferry, wow, what a cathartic
yep.
moment that is.
Yeah, Yeah, I know. And, you know, that's a scene that, for whatever reason, had been in my head for 10 years, and I didn't know where it went. And then there it was. When I was writing it, it popped up, and I said, this is the place.
So what's the process for you? How do you do this? How do you tell these stories like this?
They're just there all the time, really. And I just know when I'm ready. I don't know. I don't plot. I just get up in the morning, and I know it's there, and I start writing it, and then it just reveals itself, and then the next morning it reveals a little bit more. And I kind of polish as I go, and then when I get through, I do one more pass at it. And in that case, if I need to, you know, change something, make something work a little better, I got the guy's eye color wrong, et cetera, I do all of that until it fits. But usually it's just a matter of getting up in the morning and doing it, 3 hours a day, roughly 5 to 7 days a week. And then, I take time off now and then, too.
Uh-huh. There's a dreamlike quality to a lot of this. Do you get some of your ideas from dreams?
Tremendous amount. And I think that's what happened. I think my subconscious, when I lay down at night and I get up, it's there. I think that's the difference in a storyteller and just a writer. A writer is, I like to think of myself as both, but I think a storyteller is someone who comes from dream experience. It doesn't mean that it's always a dream, but there's this feeling that you're hearing something that's primal. And when my work is working at its best, and I can't say that it always is, but when it's working at its best, it feels like you're hearing a story that you've heard before, but yet somehow in a strange way for the first time.
Uh-huh.
That's that weird feeling of familiarity and yet originality. And I think that's pure storytelling.
Joe Lansdale joins us. His new novel is Paradise Sky. You've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
I have. Ever since I was a child, I've been selling for over 40 years and full-time for ever since 81.
Does a writer in this culture today have to have another job, like teaching in college or something, to make it work?
Well, I don't. I did. I worked in when I was 1973, I sold my first piece, which was the first thing I ever wrote, and that's the first time I ever sent it out. It sold, and it was a nonfiction piece, and then I wrote several, and every one of them sold. And I thought, oh, this is easy. So I switched over to do fiction, and then it wasn't so easy. It took me a couple of years to start selling. But that just kept increasing, and by 1981, I went full-time, and I've been that way since. So I had other jobs while I was learning to write, and I had other jobs while I was beginning to sell. But at some point, as I got off into novels and short stories and film scripts and comic books and stuff like that, I knew that that's all I wanted to do. But it's the sort of thing you never feel all that secure. You always think, what happens next year?
So,
and I'm 64 this year.
Yeah. This nonfiction stuff that you started off with, was that like true crime or what was it?
No, it was farming. That's what I did. I was a farmer. So I was a truck cropper, and we had a goat dairy. And so what I did is I started writing stuff about that.
Wow. You had a goat dairy?
Yeah, wood stoves and mules. Yeah, fouled with mules and things like that. So I just started wrote about what my wife and I were doing. You know, just little pieces related to it, a few here and there. Then I went into writing about the Old West, and I wrote for Old West or Frontier Times or True West, two of those. I don't remember, the one of them I didn't write for and two of them I did, but I don't remember which was which.
Mm.
But I wrote some pieces on historical pieces for them. I ghosted a few things early on, short stories, and did some work under a pen name and a couple pen names, so. You know, I did all that so I could go full-time and do exactly what I wanted to do, which was about 1981, but probably wasn't until 1983 that I really began to write what I thought of as my stories, and 1986 when I was really felt that I was fairly secure at what I was doing.
At this very moment, you are adjacent to a set where they're filming some TV shows based on your work, and
mm-hmm.
A lot of people are familiar with this particular series that they're filming.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that series?
I'll talk about it a little bit. Some of it's under wraps. But what I will say is I'll give you what's already known, what's out there. Is it stars James Purefoy, who was on The Following in Rome. He plays Hap. And it stars Michael K. Williams, who plays Leonard. And then there are other actors in it that have been announced, like Bill Sage, who plays a character named Howard. But most of them have, I'm going to keep under wraps a little bit. But what I will say is that I'm very happy with it. It's very much my first novel, Savage Season, done as the first season, and we hope there's a second season. And if there is, then they'll go on to Mucho Mojo. And there are other elements added in from the books and some original things, but I don't think a writer could be better served than I have been. This is very nice so far. Talk to me after they cut it and put it out.
Well, I guess I was actually more interested in hearing you talk about the actual series that the TV show is based on, because I know you can talk about that, and we probably got some people out there that never heard of it.
Well, Hap and Leonard is a series I've had going since 1989. I wrote it in 89. I think the first one came out in 1990. And I wrote it right after a novel called Cold in July. I didn't write another one until 3 years later, which was Mucho Mojo, and then it sort of became a regular series in between other kinds of novels that I wrote. And it has this incredible dedicated fans, and I just turned in the ninth one to Mulholland Books, which is a division of Little Brown. And so all the others are in paperback from Vintage Books, which is a division of Random House. So there will be a new publisher continuing the series, and I'm excited about that. And also another publisher, Tachyon, who's going to be doing the novellas, the Hap and Leonard novellas, and a couple of short stories. So that's going to be good, too, I hope.
So let's talk about these two characters. I mean, these are very unusual characters.
Yeah, Hap is an old anti-war guy from the 60s, and he's also a liberal guy in Texas. He's somebody that would rather have lived the ideals of the 60s, but has not been able to. And Leonard, his best friend, and more than his friend, is more like his brother. It's almost like his alter ego, is a conservative Republican, a gay guy. And when I first came up with that idea in 1989, there weren't many who fit that bill. And the idea, too, that he's openly gay and not ashamed of it was big in those books back then, too. Nobody was particularly used to that particular approach. And over the years, they have become so popular, and some of their subsidiary characters as well, that the fans are always excited about when the next book's going to be. And sometimes there are several years between them. Though right now, besides the one I've turned in, I have another one in the mill. So I'm going to try to follow up with a couple more back-to-back, because it would be smart for the series, but it would also be smart for the television series, because one might help lead to the other and advance the other. But I just love writing about those guys. And I've always had a rule: if you're doing it for the money, don't do it. And if you're going to do it for the money and you have to, then find a reason that you want to do it. And that's where it's always been with me. It's always been the love of it that's driven me.
So what would be a reason that you'd want to do it?
I love these characters. I always want to do it. That's what I say. I'm driven to do it. I love it. I get up in the morning. That's what I think about. I want to do it.
I guess I meant, if you were doing it for the money, why else would you want to do it?
Oh, well, even if I was doing it for them, I'd find a way to do it for myself. I mean, I always find something that makes it worthwhile or interesting to me.
Hmm.
I was born to do it.
You're born storyteller, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess I learned that. You don't really guess you're born that way, but I learned that from my relatives, who were great storytellers, and from reading early on. So I've always wanted to do it and always have.
Who was the most memorable storyteller from your childhood that you remember?
Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Tarzan?
Yeah, and then people would have been my dad.
Uh-huh. What were his stories like?
Well, a lot like the ones I write, like The Thicket and Paradise Sky, things of that nature. Was often very funny, that some of it based on his real life experiences, some of it based on other people's experiences, and things about growing up in East Texas. So, I always said it was like being with the most fantastic storyteller you could imagine, although he didn't do it all the time. He had to be in the mood, and when he was, I listened. And my grandmother told stories, and other relatives, uncles, so I just absorbed all that.
Was your dad a farmer, too?
My dad was a mechanic, but he had grown up a sharecropper.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't read or write.
Mm-hmm. I understand you have a daughter who's making a career in music.
I sure do. In fact, she's sitting on the set right now watching all this go on. She's doing a career in music. She's also writing music. She's been writing and selling some fiction. She's been in a couple of little films. So she's quite the creative giant. And my son writes comic books and has written a screenplay that was filmed. So they're both, you know, on the edge of it.
Wow. Have you been able to give them some good advice, or are they doing it on their own?
Both. Both. They do it on their own, but I've certainly tried to give them some good advice.
In case you just tuned in, Joe Lansdale joins us. His new novel is Paradise Sky. And this is a real action-filled story. And his protagonist has got the greatest outlook on life because some really bad things happen to young Willie. And he doesn't really let it get to him, does he?
No, but, you know, I think that comes from people I've known that were really survivors. I think we've got a lot more whiners now than we used to. I think that the people when I was growing up, they faced the day sometimes when they really had the hardest decisions to make, no money, just working hard, and you know, I appreciated that, and I've tried to carry that over into this character.
The way you put out stuff, I'm guessing that you're able to work on different things simultaneously, or do you just focus on the one book at a time?
It varies, but I usually can work on things simultaneously. I like work on a novel, and I might take 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the day and work on a short story. And then I might take a couple of days off and just work on the short story. But I usually have one major project and a couple of others that just sort of get moved in that direction. And then when the main project's finished, then I'll turn on one of those and finish it, and then maybe nibble at another one.
Well, I'm guessing as productive as you are that you've got something that's all finished, that's in the pipeline. What's the next thing that's going to come out?
The next thing coming out is a Happy Leonard novel called Honky Tonk Samurai.
Wow, is that in Japan?
No, it actually takes place in East Texas.
Okay. And what's your...
My characters, Jim Bob's in it, and Happy Leonard, and several other characters from the past and other novels.
Have they got a pub date on that one?
Early next year. That's all I really know at this point. Probably around May, maybe a little earlier than that.
All right. Well, Joe, I'm going to check you off my list. I finally got to talk to you, and it's really been a treat.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's been a treat. And you have a good day.
Joe Lansdale's been our guest. His book is Paradise Sky, and he's been on the Book Nook today, and we're going to let him get back there to that set. Do you just watch, or do you advise?
A little of both. And I advise, but they can listen or they can't listen. They decide on their own. I'm a co-executive producer of it.
Excellent. Well, we'll watch for that.
At least I get a say, not necessarily any vote.
Did you say that's going to be on Sundance?
Sundance Channel, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Book Nook on WYSO. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.